Hey, this is Miss Melis, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you are listening to Tales from the Tub. The Dog Days of Podcasting. It's August 17th, 2015, and I've got a conversation with Susan Fogle, my mom. I'm here on my birthday with my mother, Susan Fogle. Say hi, Mom.
Hi, Melissa. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Do me a favor and tell my listeners about yourself. Tell me who you are, what you do for a living, however you self-identify.
Well, I ran away from my family and the U.S. and everything I held dear when I was 50. In 2000. I'm still 50, even though it's 2015. And I
Go ahead.
I live in my own reality. And so therefore I'm still 50.
Impressive since I'm 45 today.
Well, as you know, I had you before I was born. So I wouldn't age. You aged me enough through your teenage years. When I came here, I thought I was never going to work again. I was going to make pretty quilts and collect shells on the beach. Not only was that not financially feasible, it would be pretty boring. So I write for the local English language newspaper. I write slice of life columns and about real estate. I just retired from selling real estate, which I've done since 2001 down here, and even was the director of a cross-border mortgage company. Right now, as we speak, I'm working on a project, an internet project. For those of you who want to escape the U.S. of A., I'm putting together a high-end coaching class. And right now, I'm working on the questionnaire of the reasons why you want to leave the U.S. And some of the reasons could be to walk on the beach or to escape paying child support. And all of those things are reasons that people have had for coming here. That's what I'm working on. And I just built my third home here, and it is beautiful, and I'm loving that.
Tell me what a typical day is like for you.
Well, this morning I was up before the sun and swam, and the water was so hot I almost parboiled myself. Then I made some coffee and made a pot because we were going to go out for breakfast. It's the first day for Ira, my husband. Back to work after his vacation, and we thought we'd go for breakfast. This place never has decaf. Well, they weren't open. So we went to our favorite cafe, which we often do, and waited 25 minutes for breakfast. Luckily, I had my coffee pot. But a typical day, because they didn't have decaf. It's the second time this week they had no decaf, and they're an espresso cafe. So that's life in Mexico. So a typical day could be that I get up and I swim, and I'll check email and have breakfast in the house or out with Ira, and then either spend my day writing or sewing, or I do meet friends once a week at a cafe for coffee, and we just have a wonderful time. And then I might stop at a fabric store or the bank to pay my taxes or a bill, and then come home and have a siesta. Siestas are an absolute treat in Mexico. Everyone takes them, and you don't feel old because you're taking a nap in the middle of the day, and it sounds better when it's a siesta. And then we would grill something outside. Even though we have a beautiful kitchen, we cook outside almost every single day of the year. Then we might watch something on Netflix and go to bed if we haven't been invited out for a glass of wine or invited friends in.
What's one of your favorite, I don't like to ask favorites, but is there something really special that you've done since living in Mexico that you'd like to share?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is I have a friend, Maria, who was born on February 29th, and I was born on February 21st. And for several years, she and I would go to our favorite little hotel, actually the only resort in La Paz, and go to the beach, and we'd go there and have a massage and a nap, and then we'd have lunch and a margarita and a swim and a nap and another swim and then some coffee to wake us up when we would go home so we could drive home. And we did that several years in a row. She has twin grandsons, and I have always been invited to all of their special events. And so one of the most special things about living here is when you get to know Mexicans and then you're invited to their homes for holidays or birthdays or graduations or any of the number of family events that you would celebrate. And those are just so sweet and wonderful, and we're invited to all of them. I've been to christenings and baby showers and weddings, funerals, openings of businesses, adoption ceremonies, birthdays, anniversaries. I've been everything. And it's very much like the U.S. and very different.
What are one of the biggest differences that you've noticed?
Well, the pace of life here is slower. And mañana really exists, and nobody really feels impelled to move quickly. And once you've adjusted to that, that's a big difference. And also, one of the things Americans have a real problem with is the tolerance for litter and the terrible roads. And that is a problem because you're accustomed to good roads and clean streets.
If you could solve one of the world's problems, including litter, big or small, what would it be?
To end human trafficking. I think it's more not only one, and hunger, because I think poverty and hunger are what leads to human trafficking. People sell their daughters so they could live another year.
A lot of Americans think that all of Mexico is really dangerous. I know that's not true, and you know that's not true. But what would you want other people to know about personal safety where you live?
Well, I would like to ask the average Californian or New Yorker or somebody from Fresno, if you're would you go walking down the street alone at night? And would you, are you concerned about your personal safety at night? And the answer would be yes. Here, no. How many murders have been in your town in the last month, in the last year? We do have drug violence here. It's narcos killing each other. They're doing a public service. We've had quite an outbreak of drug violence here in La Paz, but it has not touched us. We know about it, and we hear the grimy details, but it's not in our neighborhoods. It's not in middle-class Mexican neighborhoods. And like I said, they're killing each other. And so they're saving us and the taxpayer a lot of money. Mexico is safe. It is the murder statistics, random crime, is a lot lower than in any city or town in the U.S. Little girls are not snatched walking home from school. It is safe, and Mexicans are very, very respectful of foreigners and protective of foreigners. I've never felt unsafe in Mexico.
If there's a person in your life who has been a particular influence on you, who are they?
In Mexico or in general?
In general.
Well, there's my mother, Esther Natalie Kleindienst. There's Melissa, you, my husband Ira, my father, Edward Kleindienst, because your parents imprint so much on you. And sometimes it's not all good, but they certainly have an influence. And my love of fashion and accessorizing comes from my mother. And I think my creativity and willingness to be different comes from my father. And learning new things, being forced to learn new things, comes from my daughter. And also having extreme patience comes from having a daughter.
I think that's pretty universal for all parents, whether they have human children or the furry kind.
Yes, that's true.
If you could have dinner with just one historical figure, celebrity, or fictional character, who would you choose and why?
One historical figure, fictional character.
Or celebrity.
I don't know. That's really tough. Maybe Eleanor Roosevelt. She was a beautiful and kind and intelligent woman who suffered a lot with a philandering husband, and she wasn't even pretty and still worked so hard to be a good woman.
What's a piece of wisdom or advice that you've ever given or received that you think should be shared?
That I have given? Well, what I've given to every young girl I know is, I don't care what they say about good girls. If you're going to have sex, you take care of the birth control. And if you're going to have children, don't have any more children than you can have, than you can support on your own. Marriage is a lovely romantic notion, but most first marriages fail, and then you're stuck with kids.
Have you received any advice that you want to share?
Received any advice I want to share? Oh, everybody wants to advise me all the time.
Useful advice.
Useful advice. I always think when on a really hot day and I go put my wrists under cold water, that my mother used to say, if we're ever separated and you're hot, she was always worried about us getting separated, and that we should put our hands under cold water, our wrists. And I think about that when I'm dying of the heat, like right now.
I always think about how she always carried soap in her purse in a Kleenex.
Like soap,
so that
Kleenex.
If the public restrooms at the beach never had soap, she would have it.
Yes. She was funny.
She was funny. Is there a book, movie, song, television show, or other piece of media that's particularly meaningful to you at this time?
At this time.
It doesn't have to be a recent thing, but just what comes to mind.
No, I hate when people ask me that. I can never remember anything. I just watched a movie last night because it left me very disturbed. It's called Our Boy of the Internet, about Aaron Swartz and how the Justice Department went after him with both barrels just recently because he was going to release public access information that people were being required to pay for. And it was very moving because many of his supporters said, these people from the banks that created this crisis that destroyed the middle class still get to sit down to a meal with the president. And this young man who was only trying to make information, especially all of these research papers that are paid for with grants, which is my tax dollars, make this public access material open to the public. And he was going to end up with 35 years in jail or have to take a plea bargain, and so he killed himself.
That is horrible.
And I've been very disturbed about it because of the lack of the freedoms that we're losing. And as I've watched various TV shows like Blacklist and White Collar and Suits, although I've always known it, it really plays up how fucked the U.S. system is. And so all of those things have become very disturbing to me.
When a bad mood strikes you, or you have a really challenging day, or you've watched a disturbing movie like this, what do you do to shake yourself out of it?
Well, it depends. Sometimes I'll just look out at my beautiful view of the ocean or the city lights, depending on the time of day. I'll go have a swim. Or maybe I'll go to a sewing site and look at pretty dresses.
Tell me something that sets your soul on fire.
Chocolate and coffee and fabric. Manipulating fabric. Just thinking about fabric. Looking at fabric. Touching it. Buying it. I love it.
I remember a couple of times when friends of yours have given you pieces of fabric just to have. Do you still do that?
Yeah. I just was visiting friends in Alabama, and I came home with all kinds of ultra suede. Now, when am I ever going to wear ultra suede in Mexico? But I have teal and gray and blue and black with gold circles. And then Shirley gave me a bunch of fabric. Some I may sew. And Helen sent me a piece from Nepal that I don't think I could ever cut.
So you take it out and look at it from time to time, or do you just know that it's there?
Well, sometimes I'll take it out, and sometimes I'll even consider cutting it. Then I put it back. I just reorganized all of my sewing cabinets because when we moved in, one friend just shoved them all in, and another friend asked if she could help, and I said, do it by color, but she put delicate silks under upholstery fabric. So I spent 2 days redoing all of that and looking at all of my fabrics and realizing I had some purses I hadn't finished for somebody.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to let you indulge yourself now and tell one baby story about me.
Well, what's really interesting is when I was watching this documentary on Aaron Schwartz, and he was reading so beautifully at 3 years old. I remember when you were in daycare that you read one of your books to the class, and the teachers thought you had just memorized it, and they gave you another book to read. And you were very upset because you had never seen the word archaeologist before, and you said archaeologist. And they corrected you, but also did tell you that you read it, you pronounced it the way it should have been. It's just that English is a weird language. So you were very, all that, you just books. What can I, there's so many stories about you.
But I only asked you for one.
I know.
Or we'd be here all day. So I'm going to ask you one more question.
Yes.
And that's this. I know we already talked about what you would fix in the world, but if there's a specific charity or cause that you feel really strongly about, what is it?
I think Planned Parenthood is in a lot of danger from these crazy people driving in their clown car that want think they're going to be president. And we need to, as much as I have issues with Planned Parenthood's politics, we need to protect that access for women for all kinds of health care. So I would say that right now Planned Parenthood is in need of more money than anything else, anybody else, because they can lose the funding that they're already getting.
It's especially scary when you live someplace like where I live here in Texas, where a good third of the state has really no women's health care.
Yeah, it's really scary.
So I'm going to ask you your bonus question now.
Yes.
And this is the easy one. Where can we find you online or in media?
Well, I have a blog that I haven't been paying much attention to for a year because of circumstances, and that's MexicoMusings.com. And I have a sewing blog that I promised everybody in the sewing world that I would revive, and that's SusanSewsDaily at blogspot.com. And Facebook is Susan A. Fogel.
The Bathtub Mermaid is written and produced by Melissa A. Bartell and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 International License. Music for this episode was provided by Mebio's Music Alley, a great resource for PodSafe music. Visit them at music.mebio.com. The opening song is Soap in a Bathtub by Stoney. The closing song is You Can Use My Bathtub by Little Tom. The Bathtub Mermaid is produced and recorded using Boss Jock and Audacity. You can contact me by leaving a comment at the website, www.bathtubmermaid.com, by finding me on Twitter, at Meliss, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, or by sending an email to Meliss, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, at starfleet.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.
Still it shows, but you can use my bathtub. Understand, you can use my bathtub.